This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, in our situation in the West, we notice that the atmosphere and the culture that we live in, they like to celebrate many celebrations. Some have a religious background to them, such as Christmas and Easter, and some of them have no basis to them whatsoever, and they are just there for the sake of entertainment and for the sake of consumerism. One of those holidays is the one that just passed, which was Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is a day where one individual is supposed to show their affection to the next, whether it be a husband and wife, girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, whatever the case may be. That is the whole basis of the holiday. And it was just, again, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our lecture right after this holiday happens to be about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who is most beloved to us. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that none of you truly believes until I am more beloved to him than himself, his parents, his children, and all of mankind. That none of you truly believes, meaning that there will be a deficiency in your iman if I am not the most beloved to you, more than yourself, more than your parents, more than your children, and all of mankind. Now, how do we incite this love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? From a logical perspective, you will never be able to love that which you do not know. You cannot love that which you do not know. So the obvious answer is by getting to know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the very first reason that we need to study the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our lecture bi-ithnillahi ta'ala today will be about the importance of studying the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In terms of describing the love that the companions had for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the slave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At his very young age, Anas's mother came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, Rasulullah, take my son and use him for your service. So from the young age of 6 up until the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas was with him. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never scolded me and he never became upset with me and he was the most kindest of people with me. And now look how he describes the entering of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into Medina. He says that there was no day brighter in Medina than the day that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into it. And there was no day gloomier and sadder than the day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. So you can see what type of effect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had upon the companions. That he brightened their days. And when he parted from them, it is when they became gloomy. And this is what can be seen by the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. That when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in such a state of frenzy. He was in such despair and in such disbelief that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had died. He said that whoever says Muhammad is dead, I will chop his head off. This is the state of shock and disbelief that he was in when he heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had died. And this is the state that we are all in when a close and beloved person dies. Except over here, there wasn't any blood relation. There wasn't any mutual benefit relation, meaning he wasn't a business partner, there weren't any business transactions or anything like that. But rather, there was that brotherhood of Islam. The Prophet of Al-Islam and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu loved him more than him, than his own self. And then Suhail ibn Umar, one of the early spies of Quraysh, when he spied upon Medina and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he reported back to Quraysh, he said, "I have seen the Persian Empire. I have seen the Negus of Abyssinia. I have seen Heraclius, the leader of the Byzantine Empire. And I have not seen a people who are more willing to sacrifice themselves for one man than the Muslims are for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Likewise, Amr ibn al-Aws, he started off as an enemy of Islam. And he narrates this about himself. He said that I had two stages in my life. A stage where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most despised and despicable individual in the sight of my eyes. I could not stand his sight, nor could I bear to hear his name. Because as we know, that when people accepted Islam in Quraysh, it split up families. People accepted Islam and they left for Medina. And likewise, they left the religion of Quraysh. So this upset the people. So thus, those people who had family members that left, they became upset at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do magic upon people, and thus he would capture them, and they would leave with him. So Aws narrates over here that he was the most despicable and hated person in my eyes. And then everything changed. Allah guided me to Islam. And I went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I want to give you my pledge of allegiance to you, but on one condition, that you forgive me for everything that I did in the past." And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed and smiled at that time. And he said, "Ya Aws, do you not know that a person entering into Islam, it wipes away all of his previous sins? Did you not know that entering into Islam wipes all of that away?" And then I told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, you are more beloved to me than my own self." And from then on, I was unable to raise my eyes at him because I was shy of him. And now after his death, if you ask me to describe him, I would not be able to do so. Because every time I was with him, I would lower my gaze and I would not look him directly in the face. This was the effect that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had upon his companions. Now time goes on, and you have Imam Malik, the Imam of Darul Hijra, the Imam of Medina. He says that when the Adhan used to be given, and the Muazzin used to say, "Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," and I testify that there is no man, that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, my face would turn pale in remembrance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, this is the state we need to reach with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the vast majority of us, if not all of us in this room, are not in this state. And it is purely due to the fact that we are ignorant of the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now let us take a look at the important role that the seerah played in the life of the companions and the tabi'een. We know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give a lot of emphasis in teaching the Quran to the companions. He would gather them around and teach them revelation bit by bit. And thus the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum followed their footsteps, that when the tabi'een came, they would teach the Quran. Not everyone was able to read and write, so they would teach by talqeen, meaning by repetition. They would say something, and the tabi'een and the successors would repeat after them. And this is how they learned the Quran. So you have Hussein ibn Ali, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that I was taught the maghazi, meaning the expeditions and the battles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as I was taught the Quran. And then you have Muhammad ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the son of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He narrates that my father would teach me about the battles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as we would be taught Surah Al-Fatiha. Meaning it was something that was done over and over again. And this is the role it played in their lives, because they knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to be emulated. They knew that love had to be incited into the believers for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was no way to do that except by teaching them the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, moving on into another reason, that the seerah educates us of the Quran. We know that the Quran, as we discussed last week, is the very speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He revealed unto us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs us with commandments, directs us with stories of the people of the past, directs us with information of the future and information of heaven and hell. Now how are we to understand the Quran? We understand it through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that if you want to see the Quran walking, look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have revealed unto you the dhikr, the remembrance, or the reminder, so that you may explain to mankind what was revealed unto them. This was the aim and the objective of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his prophethood, that he had to explain the Quran to the people. So in order to understand the Quran, you need to understand and see the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, studying the seerah raises our hopes and lifts our spirits. When you look at the battles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, starting off with the Battle of Badr, where the Muslims are approximately 314 and the Quraysh are over 1,000. And you see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam persevered, even though they had embargoed him, even though they had spread lies about him, even though the wealth of the Muslims was taken away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still granted victory. Then you go on into Uhud, and then you go on to Tabuk, and you look at the other expeditions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you see how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, time and time again, regardless of the state he was in terms of poverty or adversity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him victory. And this is a reminder for the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always aid the believers. And thus by studying the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it increases our tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never abandon his slaves. Likewise, the seerah increases our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was revealed portions of the Quran, especially stories of the prophets that came before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that thus we have revealed unto you the stories of the prophets before you, so that we may establish and make your heart firm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted firmness to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the stories of the people of the past. And likewise, by studying the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we establish iman in our hearts. And then when you see that there was this individual who sacrificed everything that he had, from his wealth, from his honor and dignity, that he didn't care what people thought about him or what people said about him, and then he sacrificed his own physical body, that when he went to Ta'if, people stoned him till he bled. And then, even though he was forgiven for all of his sins, he used to stand up in prayer till his feet would swell. All of these things the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did for this ummah. And he supplicated for this ummah to the degree that he said, Ya Allah, do not let this ummah be destroyed due to poverty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted this to him. And he said, Ya Allah, do not let this ummah be destroyed by its enemies. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was granted this dua as well. So this supplication that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made was for this ummah. And then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, while each person is saying nafsi, nafsi, each person is worried about their own self, we have the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, what? Ummati, ummati. My ummah, my ummah. Each person is looking out for their own benefit. They each want to enter paradise. They each want to save themselves from the hellfire. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's concern is, who will save my ummah? How will my ummah get into paradise? How will they be saved from the hellfire? The seerah is one of the greatest miracles that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given. We mentioned last week that the Quran is the greatest miracle that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given. But another great miracle is the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We see that at the end of Surah Al-Kawthar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar." That the one who criticizes you and says bad about you, he is the one who is cut off. He is the one who will be cut off. The reason of revelation of this ayah is that some of the people started saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had four girls, yet he had no men, meaning that he had four daughters, but he had no male children. So thus the genealogy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would end, and no one would carry his name, and no one would carry his lineage. And this is what they used to say. And in the Arab culture, this is a sign of weakness and a sign of something that is considered despicable and low. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over here that the one who says this about you, he is the one who will be cut off, and he is the one who will not be remembered. And fi'lan, and truly, this is what happened. This man who said this about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't even know his name. Yet the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the name that is mentioned and is the name that is remembered. If you look at the name in directories and in, you know, all other forms of records, the name that is mentioned the most and is people are named after the most is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every country that you go to, you will have, you know, plenty of pages of Muhammad. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَ, and we have raised your remembrance. That he is remembered with every khutbah and every talk that we start. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send blessings upon him. And every salah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send blessings and peace upon him. And likewise, in each and every dua that we make, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send peace and blessings upon him. So this is the rank of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To that degree, his remembrance was raised. Now how is the seerah the greatest miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or one of the greatest miracles? Ibn Hazm says that if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given no other miracle besides the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this would have been enough of a proof upon mankind. And if you think about it, think about any individual that you like, from the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the leaders of armies, from the presidents that have existed, and from the leaders of the world. No one's biography is recorded in such detail as the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From how he lived his day-to-day life, to how he led expeditions, to how he prayed, and even as to how he died and how he was buried. Each and every detail is recorded about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no one else's biography is recorded to such a detail. Likewise, in terms of entering Jannah, one needs to know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam believed in and what he did. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he sat with his companions and he drew a straight line. And he says, this is the straight path. And then from that straight path, he drew off many branches. And he said, these are the paths of misguidance. And upon each path is a devil calling to that path. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to explain to his companions that the straight path is what I and my companions are upon. So in order to reach that straight path, you have to see and understand and believe what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam believed in. And this is what Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the saved sect, is all about: believing and acting like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Something pertinent to our times: we know that the disbelievers, especially the media, They like to portray the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very negative light. They say that he was a child molester. They say that he cheated money. He cheated people out of his money. They say that he fabricated the Quran, that he came up with it himself, or he took it from the Bible and the Torah, and he just derived it like that. All these lies are spread about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the best way to defend the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, other than our physical actions of goodness, is by studying the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and refuting those allegations and those misconceptions. A person who does not know the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot refute those misconceptions and those allegations. Likewise, when we study the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, looking at it from a psychological perspective, that when you want to be the best, you have to emulate the best. Meaning that if you want to be the best slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to be the best leader, you want to be the best husband, you want to be the best father, you look no further than the best of each of them. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best in each of these categories. So if you want to be the best of leaders, you want to be the best of husbands, you want to be the best of fathers, you need to study the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the way that he dealt with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Starting from the night of their wedding, he went in and offered Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha milk to drink. The husband offered the wife, not the wife offering the husband. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, out of her shyness, she declined and she said, "I am not hungry." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam jested with her and he said that lying and hunger do not belong together. Meaning that I know that you're hungry, there's no need for you to lie, just take it. So the husband served the wife in this scenario. And likewise, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates about the relationship that she had with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said that when I was young, I used to race with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would let me beat him. He would let me beat him. And then when I grew older and I gained weight, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't let me win. So this is the relationship that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with his wife. Now look how he was with his daughter. Upon the deathbed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha close, and he whispered something in her ear, to which she started to weep. And then he whispered something into Aisha and to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha's ear, to which she started to laugh out loud. And then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she always wanted to know what was being said so that she could learn and implement and likewise teach it to the people. So she asked Fatima, the first time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whispered something into ear, what did he whisper? Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha says that he whispered to me that his time was coming to an end. And even though I knew I shouldn't cry, I just couldn't hold back my tears. Then she asks Fatima, then why did you start laughing when he whispered something to you again? He said that I would be the first of his family to be entered into paradise, or the first one to be united with him. Meaning that even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaving this earth, that Fatima would be the closest relative to him that would die straight after. And this is what happened. Approximately 6 months later, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha died. And she laughed at this. She laughed at her own death just because she would be able to be with her father again. This was the type of relationship that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with his children. And then with his companions, as was narrated before, that they were the people who were the most ready to sacrifice themselves for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To such a degree that during the Battle of Uhud, Ammara, one of the female companions, an arrow was coming towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she stuck out her hand and it went through her hand so that she could protect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a female companion, not a male companion. And then likewise, the stories of these scenarios are many. If you want to be the best at what you do, look at the state and look at the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And ending off, we're keeping the lecture short today. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has many and several rights upon us. The most important of those rights, as we mentioned, is to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this love isn't just an empty love. We know in our times we like to use words that really don't have any meaning to them. We will tell people that we love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will tell people that we like them, yet we don't do anything to show it. When they are in a time of need, we're not there to help them. Likewise, when we know that they want or need something, we're not there to provide it for them. This cannot be the same scenario with the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has to be a love that is shown by following the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is only done by studying the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we were to leave with just a few examples from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some of the key themes that he emphasized, from them is mercy to the young. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he is not from us who does not show mercy to the young and does not give the light to the elders. That each group has their position. We're supposed to show mercy to the young and respect to the elders, and he is not from us who does not do that. And we see this from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when Hassan was playing upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in sajda leading the people in jama'ah. Hassan was praying on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he just stayed down in sajda so Hassan would finish playing and finish doing what he was doing. The companions thereafter, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up from sajda, they asked him, "Ya Rasulullah, why was it that you delayed your sajda so long?" He said, "I wanted to wait for Hassan to finish playing with what he was playing and doing what he was doing." And in terms of taking care of your elders, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the elderly women in his community and his society, he would go to them and he would visit them and ask them if they needed anything. And likewise in Bukhari it is mentioned that the old ladies would come to him and seek advice from him and seek guidance from him. So this is the relationship that he had with the elderly. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fulfilled those rights. And likewise, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the most fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he mentioned himself. That regardless of what was happening, he would always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day that his son died, the sun eclipsed that day. And the people started saying that, look at the greatness of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the sun has eclipsed for the death of his son. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, this is not the case. But rather, the eclipse is a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am just the slave and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he always remembered that the station of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the greatest, and his message was to tell the people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. And thus, for the first 13 years in Mecca, all he did was raise their iman. He didn't enforce any major worship upon them. He didn't call them to any major sacrifice. But only when their iman was raised, he called them to it. So he increased their iman so that they would be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. So remember the rights of the people around you. From the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he even said that Jibreel talked to me about the rights of the neighbors so much so that I started to believe that they would inherit from me. And as we know, it is only the close family members that inherit from the Muslim. It is only the close family members. And he started to repeat the rights of the neighbors so much so that I thought that they would inherit from me. So everyone has their rights. And this was the key theme, or one of the key themes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever had a right upon him, whether it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it was his neighbors, whether his companions, whether his wife, whether his children, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sacrifice himself so that their rights could be fulfilled. And it was through the sacrifice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we as Muslims are tens and thousands of kilometers away from where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and we're still able to practice this deen, and we still have information about this deen, and we still have knowledge of this deen as we did during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only through his sacrifice. So brothers and sisters, let us not let that sacrifice go to waste. Study the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I invite you to study it with me bismillah ta'ala in our future sessions. For indeed, in following the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true success. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ma wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I don't think there should be any questions, but if there are, we can address them, inshallah. The simplest book in Sirah that I have seen is When the Moon Split. When the Moon Split by Shaykh Safi Rahman Mubarakpuri is one of the simplest books, and it is a very enjoyable read. If you want something more complicated, then Rahiq al-Maktoum is very good. And then in terms of more recent books, there's a book by Adil Salahi. I don't remember who published it, but it is a very good compilation of the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Adil Salahi. It's a very good compilation of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, in English. All this is in English. Oh, and likewise, actually, this is probably one of the best books in the English language. It was translated about 2 years ago. It's by Sheikh Ali al-Salabi. And what he does is, he mentions or narrates the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ in terms of what happened. Then after it, he talks about points of benefit that we can derive from it. And this is in three volumes. It was published by Dar al-Salam.